Number 107 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully you guys are all doing good out there. Hopefully you're, enjoying the last half of this month, and we've got some interesting releases that we're talking about today. We're going to talk about Panini Americana Heroes and Legends, and we'll also talk about Panini Prestige Basketball. Both hit the street last week, I believe. So we'll talk about that on the next show. I know that most of you have been enjoying Topps Triple Threads Baseball. We'll probably touch on that a little bit. Probably more than likely we'll do what we'll do on today's show with Americana and Prestige. We're just going to talk a little bit about the sets, but we'll also highlight maybe some of the most valuable cards that we've seen on eBay and maybe some of the bigger hits in there, since I think by this time most of you listening to this program have seen the cards on eBay, or you've definitely maybe seen the cards in your card shop and stuff like that. And hey, maybe some of you have been lucky enough to find some and buy some for yourself. So we'll do the same for Triple Threads in a couple days. But today we'll talk about Americana and Prestige. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about, there's been some release date changes, so we'll run down those here right in the beginning. We're also going to talk about, I know that I got an email the other day about identifying a fake Jordan card. Somebody wanted to know if their Jordan rookie was real or not. And so we'll talk about just some of the little things that I know about that. We'll also talk about, this is one thing that we hadn't talked about, and it's actually something I have a little more experience with recently, but it's creating effective ads. I noticed that lots of people, I mean, I get so much solicitation. It's literally daily, like, oh, can you change links? Can you buy links on my website? Can you do this and that? And so a lot of people want advertising and stuff like that. And it's oftentimes they don't think through. Oftentimes I'm turning them down for their own benefit because, you know, even if you get a bunch of clicks onto your website, or you get, maybe a bunch of new followers on Twitter, if you're not effectively delivering your product, then it's not going to work out. You could go to Facebook.com and be on the front page if you want to. The advertising is not going to work if you're not effectively thinking about your customer. And so I think so many people don't think about that. They think about when you set up a website, or you sell about setting up a consumer website, you think about Google, or thinking about getting to the top of Google, or thinking about how you can thinking about your competitors, or you're thinking about this and that. The one person you're not thinking about, who you only should think about, is your customers. Because if you're pleasing your customers, you don't need to be on Google or at the top of Google. They'll just come to you. So and you don't need to run ads, because they'll just come to you. They'll just find you directly. They'll learn to know how to find you without any solicitation or anything at all. And so that's a little bit of branding, a little bit of marketing behind that. But specifically what we're going to talk about is effective ads. If you want to run an AdWords campaign, if you want to run an ad on some website or on websites that you have or whatever, I'll talk about the kind of ad you need to run and how you need to direct those users to a certain page in order to deliver results from that ad. So we'll talk about that shortly. I wanted to make note on the last show, we gave out some tips, and I wanted to give credit. Follow our friend last week. He gave out tips like fixed price auctions because of the way the fee structure on eBay is, and also just asking your price and not budging is always good, because you can set your margins, you can set your price, and even if it doesn't move out quickly, you can at least know when it does sell, you're profiting or making the kind of money you were expecting. DJ Sports Cards. Follow him on Twitter at DJ Sports Cards. Just DJ and then sports with an S and then cards with an S. Follow him on Twitter. Check him out. Send him an at tweet if you got some questions. If you're a buyer, see what he's got. I know that oftentimes buyers are exposed to lots of different cards. And if you're a big collector of, Ken Griffey Jr. or Don Mattingly or somebody, let people like this know, and when they're out and about doing their buys and they see a sweet Don Mattingly card and they know you'll buy it, or maybe they can send you a tweet or a text or whatever, those are the kind of relationships that you want to build as a buyer as well as sellers out there, being on Twitter like DJ Sports Cards and a lot of other sellers that I see out there. Even mom and pop hobby shops are on there and all this stuff. That's the place. That's the place where a lot of people are going. Facebook, people are going to move from Facebook into Twitter. I think I've said that on the show. And then Twitter will get replaced by something else. Not necessarily replaced, but phased out, as I like to say. We'll see. That might be a few years down the road. We'll see what happens. But anyways, speaking of a few years down the road, let's talk about a few weeks down the road. I know that a lot of you might have been looking to Panini Cooperstown Baseball. That was scheduled towards the end of that month. That got pushed back all the way into next month. We're looking at October 10th on that product. Also, Top Strata Football. That was looking like a next month release. I believe that got pushed back quite a bit. We're looking at a December release now on Top Strata Football. In terms of what we've got for the rest of the month, we're not a whole lot. We got the 26th. We're looking at Panini Prominence Football. There's Panini Dominion Hockey, which if you go to the Panini America blog, which is, I think, paniniamerica.wordpress.com, if you go there, they've been putting up lots of photos and preview photos of Dominion Hockey and all their set. You should not go to any other website, even my own, for new Panini fresh photos straight from the source. Trust me, all the other website out there, they're going to Panini's website and getting the information. So just go to their website and get all that preview and all the – because Tracy Hackler does a great job showing you – they were showing like prints down – they were showing the cards in the old printing facility, all kinds of stuff. Cards before they get autographed and when they're still on the sheet and everything. Nobody's doing that right now. Nobody's really showing photos like that and showing inside access like that on a regular basis. No one is. So I would encourage you – I'm sure most of you have already checked out that blog. But it's one of those things. He has that thing. You could sign up for them via email on the top. And that's what I do. And so I get an email every time they get a post. And so that's the easiest way I found to. I think they have like over like 800, 900 people signed up for that. So that's how a lot of people, I think, follow that blog. And that's a good idea for you. If you have a blog out there or any kind of thing, put that little email thing. I think that's a WordPress plugin. Just throw that up there and let people get an email every time you put up content, especially if you put up really valuable content like the Panini blog does. So people will definitely be on the lookout for that. But hey, a couple other things. Update series, like I think we said on the last show, that's an exciting release. That comes out on the 3rd. There were some other things that kind of got moved around, but really the end of this month kind of really quieted out. They really, it seemed like some of the things got pushed back, like Cooperstown, and there was, I think, a football set there that got moved back into next month. So some shakeups in the release dates. I think we have a little bit of a break here towards the end of the month, although we have Leaf Metal Baseball. There, if you're a hockey fan, you've just had Prime and Dominion, and the Cup has come out. So a lot of different stuff that's come out. But I think if you're a baseball fan, if some baseball fans skip Triple Threads altogether, and so you might have a nice break here until the first of the month when update comes out. So that's a little bit of release dates. Now I wanted to talk about just identifying fake cards really quick. This is like total first grade for some of the listeners out there, but we got to realize that there's collectors getting into this all the time, and there's a lot of new collectors, kids that are 10, 13, 14 years old or whatever, maybe even younger than that, a little bit older than that, getting into this, and they might not know, especially with the lack of hobby shops. I think there's a lack of education out there, and some things might get taken for granted just as common knowledge in this hobby where more education might be needed. And in terms of identifying fake cards, now I'm no expert. I'm no PSA grader, BGS grader, and that's where I'll start this is I strongly recommend, especially if you have something like a Michael Jordan rookie, and especially if you have like a Mickey Mantle baseball card or something similar to that, send it to them. It doesn't cost very much money, and you're gonna, especially if it looks, if it has holes in it and it's all crummy, the card has less value than it typically would if it's in nice condition. If you have a really nice looking Michael Jordan, nice looking card that is valuable already, send it in to get authenticated. At least you'll know. And one of the ways before you send it off, so you can see, there's no way to really tell for sure by yourself, unless, especially if you're a novice collector, but get a magnifying glass, get a microscope, whatever. You need to look at the card under high power and notice the pixel dots. Back in those days, I believe printing is still done with this technology to a certain extent, but back in those days, they couldn't get the pixels tight enough together. And so if you under magnification, you can look at a card and you'll see lots of little dots. And the real cards, you should be able, there should be no fuzziness between those dots. It should be very clear dots. And so you'll understand when you look at the card. And it's easy to understand how a fake one would be blurry, because all a faker does is they take that card and it's literally just a Xerox copy, because that dot printing that Fleer used back in 86 and all the companies were using and probably still use to a certain extent today, all that technology was actually kind of expensive back then, and it was hard to replicate that dot printing. So fakers would just Xerox copy. So yeah, when you under magnification, you probably still see the dots, but they're more blurry around the edges. They're not perfect circle dots with clean circle edges. It's blurry. Some of this coloring might be off. That's a first telltale giveaway, that if you see blurriness in the colors and the dot matrix and the dot pixels that are on the card, it's almost 100% fake. And also, the other thing to understand is these cards weren't perfect back then. If it looks perfectly mint and the color is really, really sharp, typically that's a tip-off too that it's fake, because back in 86, 87, Fleer, they weren't printing those cards thinking that they were going to be worth $1 million or tens of thousands of dollars years later. Maybe they did. Maybe they had that assumption, but I doubt it. So that's the kind of thing. If it looks too good to be true, also the price. If a seller is having a Michael Jordan, he's offering you a Michael Jordan rookie card for $100, you know it's fake. None of them go for $100 unless, you know, they've been put inside the shoes of Jordan. So, you know, those are the kind of things you want to think about. But the easiest way to do a really spot check is look. If you don't have magnifying glass, you can usually look very closely at the card, and you should see the little dot pixels in there, and they should be very crisp, especially under magnification. You should see white in between them, because there should be some space in between them under magnification. It should be those circles should be tight. So that should be your first. But then again, there are fakers out there that had dot matrix printers or whatever they were called, and they could do this, and they could print out very good fake Michael Jordan. So one of the best ways is just by sending it to PSA or BGS and letting them handle it, letting a professional grader handle it. It only costs, you know, for a Michael Jordan card, might cost you $20, $25, $30, maybe $40, depending on how fast you wanted it back. But that's nothing. If it comes back fake, whatever, $40. But if it comes back real and it's a PSA 7 or a BGS 8, it's going to add a lot more value, make it much more easier to sell. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Last bit of things I want to talk about on this very first segment is I want to talk about creating an effective ad. I notice a lot of people run ads. Obviously, everybody's running ads. I even run ads, not for sports card radio, but I have other websites not in sports cards. I think you could run ads in sports cards if you wanted to. And I'll talk about how in a minute, but I run ads for a lot of different things. Sometimes I get offers to help out other businesses and stuff, and so for the right price, I'll accept. And I run ads for insurance and doctors and all kinds of stuff. So the thing about, especially like AdWords, and even if you're going to advertise on another website or Link Exchange or anything like that, really you want a specific landing page or offer. Unless your homepage is like all-encompassing, unless you have like a one-page website where you just have a sign-up sheet, or you have just one page of information that you're displaying or something like that, or if you just have one list of products, you want to take people to a specific page. I would never, ever, ever, ever advertise sports card radio, pay for advertisement to sports card radio where I just sent them to sportscardradio.com, because you come to my homepage, how am I going to measure that? If somebody comes to my homepage, yeah, they might click through and find the podcast, find a checklist, but we're talking about 3 or 4 clicks away. And so it's much more effective to – it would be much more effective for me to run – say if I was on – say I wanted to run an ad on podcast.com or some site like that. and I wanted people to listen to my podcast. I wouldn't send them my homepage. I would send them to maybe the page with my latest show, or I'd send them to the page where all my podcasts were. If I wanted to send somebody to another page on my recommended products or whatever page I wanted to send them to, you need to create a very specific ad for that, find your very specific market for that, and advertise them directly to that page. I see so many people running ads and they send you right to the homepage, where it's you advertise a product and then you send me the homepage and expect me to find the product you want me to buy. And really, that's the first thing. Second thing, you can't measure ROI. If you're sending people just to your homepage or just to a page where you're only seeing when you run an ad, you can see the clicks coming in, and that's great. But if you see – if they're not signing up for an email list, if they're not buying one of your products or whatever it might be, then you have no way to measure, hey, should I renew with this guy? This guy wants $300 a month. Should I pay him again for this? You need to measure it. And the easiest way to measure it was some kind of sign-up form or some kind of survey or some way to capture the information so you know how to measure that. And here's an example. If you're any kind of website can do this. You can set up an ad and run it on Google AdWords or whatever, and set up an ad just for a newsletter. And you could set up and I know Box Breaks websites and Blowout and anything that sells, you should have a newsletter. And so you can promote a thing. So send people to a page where maybe you have a couple of products, but really prominent is this newsletter. So every, then you run an ad and you get, say, 50 clicks a day. And you find out, hey, I'm getting 10 new signups a day to my newsletter. I'm getting 15 new signups a day. So you can measure it. And then then you understand what you're paying for. If you just sent those people to that page and they didn't buy anything, or they just kind of looked around, maybe they come back, maybe they don't, but you really don't know. Really, you need them to sign up. How they're engaging with you is they're signing up through for an email. They're buying a specific product. They're signing up for a contest. I think that's another very effective way. I think people think that they need to run an ad, so they need to get immediate ROI for that. If you're having people sign up for a contest, and maybe you get their email address, and maybe you get their Twitter or whatever, or maybe get them to follow you on Twitter and Facebook and those kind of things, that can be more effective. Another thing is don't forget about Bing and Yahoo. I was particularly impressed with running ads on both those things for a totally different niche, and noticed people came through and interacted the same way with the websites, sometimes almost better than Google. And the price was very similar, sometimes less, sometimes a little more. Sometimes I don't think you can set your bid on Bing and Google for less than 5 cents. So whereas on Google, you can get clicks for 1 cent oftentimes. So on certain very low trafficked keywords. I don't know if that's a word, but anyways, those are the things you want to think about as you promote your site. And even on Twitter and those kind of things, you got to think about the user who clicks on whatever you're sending them to. You want to send them there for a reason, but also have them engage in some way, either by entering maybe a contest or maybe putting a product on sale and sending them right to that one product, one hot product. Those are the things you want to think about. Don't just send people to your homepage unless you have a one-page website. I've seen those. Those examples are few and far between. In order to create that kind of website, I think you need more experience than the average person. But it can be done. You can set up a one-page website and drive traffic just to that one page in all circumstances because it's your only page. So that works, but to not get too far off point, really what you need to do is really target your ads and target your advertising and target your marketing. Even if you're not paying for the ads, if you're putting out tweets on Twitter, if you're putting out things on Facebook and you're doing those kind of things, you want to have a way to measure it. And so that's why the newspaper industry died off. And that's part of the reason why, too, is because people realized, wow, you can measure the ads way more effectively online. Not that they're better, or not that newspaper ads will totally go away, or print magazine ads or even display ads on websites and stuff will go away. But I see so many websites just blowing their money, buying ad buys and doing in all different, not just sports card, not really in sports cards because there's not really, you don't really need to advertise, but definitely in other businesses and other areas where they advertise and they don't send you to a targeted page or a targeted location. And it really, I think, hurts you in the end. So that's my little bit. That's some inside knowledge right there, folks. That's some, I have some other advanced techniques, and I'll save them for – if you have more interest in them, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. There's two or three other things that I can think of that if you add to your ad, you'll pay less, especially on pay-per-click. You'll pay less, and you'll show up higher. That's how Google works. People think it's expensive. If you run a very good ad – And you're delivering exactly what the customer wants, you're going to pay 2 or 3 cents and you're going to show up in that little highlighted orange bar. It's really easy to do if you do a couple things. If you want some tips, they're all over the internet, but you can send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Hey, that about wraps it up for the first segment. When we come back, you want to come back for Panini Americana Heroes and Legends. And we're also going to talk about Panini Prestige Basketball right after this. Sets to touch on here. This first one's very interesting. We've seen Panini Americana come out in the past, and it's usually a mixture of celebrities and presidents and athletes and stuff like that. And pretty much same holds true again for this year. This set came out on September 13th. You're going to find 18 packs, 10 cards per pack. I believe that you can find this at retail as well in hobby boxes, which sell pre-sold for around $100. Three autographs or memorabilia cards, and it's a mixture of both there. You get 9 insert cards, and you get one of the proof parallel cards. Now, what I noticed is this set capitalized on the recent Olympic Games, and so there's quite a bit of soccer. They must have had a deal with the U.S. women's soccer team because they've got these exclusive sets where it's an insert card, then they have autographs, they have dual autographs, they have memorabilia, and they have dual memorabilia. So they have like the whole team. Or 20, it looks like 20 or so, 22 different players kind of featured throughout the set. So if you're a women's soccer fan, I know I saw on ESPN they had like an exhibition match the other day or something. So U.S. women's soccer team, if you're a fan of that or if you know fans of that, this is the perfect set because they have quite a bit few cards in here. Autograph cards, there's a lot of autographs in here. Again, a lot of the U.S. women's soccer girls, but there was quite a few other Olympians. That's what I noticed was really the theme here. I noticed Scott Hamilton, and there was Gary Hall Jr. and Sr. There was Greg Louganis, Mark Spitz, guys that I reckon. I know Scott Hamilton through announcing on TV and some of these guys basically through that. But some of these guys are a little bit before my time, but a lot of other people are going to recognize these people. These are going to be the Olympians you guys remember. There's autographed jersey cards. There's also these summer and winter Olympic games. There's Bonnie Blair. I remember her. I remember Dan Jansen. There's a lot of people on here. Jackie Joyner-Kersee, I remember her. And there are a lot of interesting – Shannon Miller, I remember her. She was a gymnast. And also Kerry Struggs in here, another gymnast. But there's these jersey relic cards. They've got Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. I know that they also have Bill Clinton is in here. He has like some historical item. Also George Bush Sr. and I think George Bush Jr. are both in here. Not autographs or anything like that, but like I think some memorabilia. I don't know about George Bush Jr., but definitely George Bush Sr. And, yeah, so interesting stuff. There's some other interesting cards. Astronauts, I think there's going to be some family members and some friends that are going to like those. There's quite a bit of focus on theirs. There's also – there's these military elite autographs, which the guy I recognize was Dwight D. Eisenhower. But there's also other guys like Floyd Carter and – Herbert Carter, Roscoe Brown. I don't know if you recognize those people. Maybe people more closely related to the military might recognize them, but I don't. But hey, I still think it would be awesome to have a card from somebody that autographed card of somebody that served in World War II or something like that. I think that's an interesting idea. And hopefully military collectors and maybe people interested in that kind of stuff check this set out because I think it'd be kind of neat. The most rare cards here are the Dwight Eisenhower cut autograph with a general star from his actual Army uniform. These are going to be numbered out of four. They're redemption cards, but they're, according to Panini, are available for immediate redemption. So once you send them in, it'll or redeem them online or whatever, the card should get sent out to you shortly. And it's a cut autograph from Dwight Eisenhower. And most of the cuts look really nice. And it's a star, literally, like, a real, like, star from a uniform in there, too. And so that's why they couldn't put them in a pack, because they're super thick. Unbelievable. Those cards will be super gems. Again, those are numbered out of four. So that highlights a little bit of Panini Americana. I meant to go through and look and see what some of the valuable cards are. I'll try to maybe remember to do that on the next podcast, or maybe throw it up on our website if I take a look at that. On to Prestige. I meant to do that for Prestige, but obviously I'm a little lazy. 24 packs, 8 packs per box. This set came out on September 14th, 2012. Hobbybox is pre-sold in that $95, $98 range right in there. You're going to get 3 autographs per box and 1 memorabilia card, so 4 hits. And you're going to get 24 rookies, and there's quite a few rookies. I believe there's about 100 of them. So if there's 24 per box and you get no dupes, really to get a given rookie, I guess, would be about 1 in 4 boxes, I guess. I don't know if that's right, but you can get – if you're better at math, maybe you're a university right now that obviously was more prestigious at math than mine. Maybe you'll be able to figure that out. But – there are some bonus shot parallels out of 249, and you also find black out of 10. And I noticed the base cards were cool. I always like it when the set has horizontal cards and vertical cards in the base card. So if the picture or the photo kind of work the other way, they have cards like that. I don't know if everybody likes that, but it shows attention to detail. I just think it adds to – when you're flipping through the packs – it just adds to kind of the fun as you're flipping through the cards because you got to turn them and stuff like that. I just think it's kind of neat. On to the autographs. I think that's what everybody's looking for in here. There's prestigious picks and there's prestigious pros. So the pros are the veteran. It's a tight group, only 25. But if you pull one of those, you're hitting Derrick Rose, Kobe, Kevin Garnett, Blake Griffin, some good guys in there. There's some random guys like Devin Ebanks. And maybe even Paul Millsap's in there. So I don't know. There's some interesting cards in there. Prestigious picks. Hey, there's 75 autograph rookies. And we put rookies in quotes because some of these guys like Kemba Walker and Kenneth Faried and some of these other guys played last year. But like we all know, they didn't have any cards. So Kyrie Irving's in here. It's one of our first chances again at him. And again, all the other guys, Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd Gilchrist and all these guys that are rookies this year are also in there. So that's exciting. There's lots of other little tiny bits of sets in here. There's some true color jerseys inside the numbered jerseys. But really, it's all about the rookies in here. So if you're excited about some of last year's picks or excited about some of this year's picks, and how could you not be? This set is a nice mixture. I think it's pretty rookie heavy, but it's a large base set of 150 basketball players, so you should be able to find your favorite player in here somewhere, unless it's Ryan Anderson or Ersan Ilyasova. But I noticed some nice cards of them too. I noticed that they had some cards out there as well. But hey, I think it's a value at around $4 a pack. I think that's not a bad value, especially because you have a chance at getting a rookie in every pack, and I think some of them will definitely be worth more than a couple bucks because it is even if we add one rookie per pack. Man, if they did one in four packs, it would have been really tough to hit a rookie. But I think some of the parallel cards in here are nice. You can take a look at it for yourself and make that decision. Folks, I don't have a whole lot else to talk about today, so hopefully you've enjoyed today's program. Let's summarize. DJ Sports Card, he sent us the great tips on the last show, so we want to thank him. Get on Twitter and follow him. Release dates, Cooperstown Baseball, Strata Football got moved back. Some other ones got moved around, so we want to take a look at that. Fake Jordan cards. Get your magnifying glass out. Get your microscope out. They're good for more than just looking at diseases and little germs in biology class. You can see if your Jordan is fake or real. Typically. Not all the time, but you can get a better idea with that. And also, create an effective ad. You want to drive people to a specific page with either an offer on it or something to buy or some kind of action, call to action, so you know. So, hey, if I spend $300 on this ad and I get, say, 4,000 clicks or whatever in a month from it, But then at the end of the month, I don't know what happened there with those four. What those 4,000 clicks do? Did they buy something? Did they sign up for my email list? Did they? What'd they do? That's what you want to make sure you do with your ads is drive them to a certain page. So then, okay, I got 4,000 hits, and on that page, I got 200 signups, and I notice I sold 8 products from there. So you can measure it, and so was it worth the $300? Is it worth the $500? Is it worth bumping up your bid, or is it worth totally forgetting about it and going a different direction? You wouldn't know unless you had a way to judge it. So that's how you want to run your ads, because if the ad's working, then you run more of it, and that's how you know ads are working. If you see the same commercial, especially the same infomercial, if you see the same commercials and the same infomercial running and running, and you're like, I'm sick of this ad. You're not sick of this ad. The company knows it's working. Either the company is really dumb, but chances are they're not. They know it's working. They know the infomercial is working. The infomercial is selling every single time. Billy Mays still selling the products long after he's dead, but it still works. So that's why they keep running the same ads. But hey, that's why today's show is wrapped up, because we don't have anything else to talk about. We've talked about it, and then we've recapped it. So you know it's toward the end. Hopefully you guys are doing good out there. I know we've got fantasy football it seems like all week now. It seems like it's a basketball season now. We got fantasy football creeping up on us every week. Get out there. Hopefully your ad drops and all that's going good. Hopefully your collections are going good. Get on there on eBay. And on the next show, I'll try to do some buying in bulk. And I've been buying off this site. Long time listener. I got a listener today that tweeted me that his favorite show is number 3. That was a long time ago. Collectors that have been listening that long know that there is a site that I used to use a while ago. I haven't used it in a while. Went back. It's a ghost town almost. But there's still some buying and trading going on there. But sometimes, just a little tip on the next show, sometimes the ghost towns and where nobody is, that's where you can get some good deals. So we'll talk about all that on the next show. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back soon. We are out of here.